to carry on, and these words won't rest until they're songs. And I feel I'm crying out like a lion. See, I've thrown.
So this is Hannah Lazar, Tiffany the Less, and we're here with the band The War Stories on PiratePods.com. Hey guys.
How you doing?
I'm crying out like a lion.
Sitting here at Kane's at the Rock for Africa benefit concert in the Pirate Pod van. So can you guys introduce yourselves? Because on your site, it doesn't say your names, and maybe your fans don't know who you are.
Sure, I'll start. I'm Evan. I sing in the band War Stories. And
my name is Reed, and I play guitar in War Stories.
My name is Paul. I play bass.
My name is Adam, and I hit things with sticks.
Caveman.
Well, so, when I first listened to your music, I, like I said before, I just became an automatic fan. But what catches my ear immediately to War Stories is the lead vocals. They're strong and original, and that's what really sets you apart, I think, from some of the other bands. But
I couldn't agree with you more.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Well, so how did you guys all meet up, and are you San Diego natives?
I was actually born in Humboldt County, which is like 300 miles north of San Francisco. But I've lived down in San Diego for the last 12 years, and kind of in a nutshell, how it started was I worked, I was living in San Diego, but commuting to Temecula to work at this winery, where I met Reed, who was working there as well. We were both in previous bands, kind of, you know, found out that, oh, you do music too. We would like exchange kind of demos when we'd record songs. Timing just kind of, it fell into place that we both left our bands at around the same time. I had some songs written, showed them to Reed. He was digging it. Started playing, we became super good friends, and that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, about 5 years.
Yeah, that's where More Stories began.
Yeah, that's pretty much like he said, the beginning. We actually were called like the Frantic Band. We kind of went through some changes, and you know, have grown along the time, and we're just really excited the stuff we've been writing recently, like just with the experience and kind of, you know, learning a lot, just kind of like taking, you know, positive from that and turning it pretty much into what we love and sharing it. So.
And then how did you two come to be into the band?
I got involved about a year and a half ago, and because I was jamming in another band. We were kind of going through a breakup, and basically Reed had a situation where their bass player that they were playing with, he left the band, and so kind of that timing worked out to where they needed somebody to play, and I came out and jammed with him for a few times for about a month, and it just worked out to where I could do it full time. So that's how it worked out with me.
So. I'm the newbie.
Yeah.
I'm the new recruit. I actually played for about 7 years in a band called Hot Like a Robot, where I actually met Evan and Reed when they were in the Frantic. And then that band broke up, and I joined another band called First Wave Hello for a while, for a little less than a year. And then that band just broke up in January. And then these guys came and sought me out, and I dug the stuff a lot, so... happy to be playing with them.
A few of the other pirates are huge fans of Hot Like a Robot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you guys get involved with Rock for Africa? Why is it important for you to be here?
For the longest time, it's actually interesting because I always felt like Africa was a place that I really needed to be at some point in time. I didn't know when, because it's such a big jump to leave, like, the band, you know, that we practice or have shows almost every day. And so it's just like, okay, I'm going to disappear for, you know, usually the trips are no less than like 2 weeks or something, you know, going over there to actually get work done. And then I was just kind of thinking about it. And then I don't know how, who approached us about, I think it was Rose that.
Through MySpace.
Yeah.
Email and stuff like that. We were approached by the Rock for Africa, you guys. And, we were just super stoked because we're always down for benefits and kind of doing things for good cause, kind of giving back kind of a thing. And we're always up for that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it was interesting. It was really cool timing because it was just a week ago or 2 weeks ago we played a benefit for Invisible Children, and then it was just like these Africa benefits started popping up, and it was like really cool for me because there's so much that I can do right here, like
yeah.
in my own neighborhood, that helps, you know, Africa without actually physically being there.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of one of those things that, you know, when things fall into the place like that, it's like, okay, this is right, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we're just following through and here to play tonight.
And how'd you come up with the name War Stories? Did Africa inspire that name?
Not necessarily Africa. I mean, just as a band, we've just seen a lot, like, anyone that's in a band knows it's like you have so many rich experiences crammed into a short period of time. So after the 5 years, which is a decent amount of time, it's like we have so many stories, really, you know? And so we just felt like starting fresh when we actually named the band, it's like we have stories to tell. Our songs are stories, you know? I had this vision of like these old, you know, war vets, 70 years old, you know, wrapping around a table about like their stories, whether it be at war, whether it be, you know, their childhood, whatever. And that's really how we write is, you know, in story formation. So I just felt like it was appropriate, and everyone has like their war stories, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, and we just share ours through music. So that's kind of how the name came about.
Well, you have a song titled Without Love, and it's one of my favorite songs from you guys. And what inspired that song?
That, this is getting personal now.
Yeah.
No, I'm personal. Totally cool with it. Basically, to be totally honest, it's about my alcohol problem. And I've been sober now for a year. And that kind of came into play when I was realizing, like, okay, this isn't just because I'm 24 and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is issue. This is affecting what I love to do more than anything, which is music. I become someone that I don't want to be. And, you know, my greatest, you know, form of therapy is songwriting. So that's when that song came out. And I think a lot of people relate to that song, whether it, you know, it, any sort of addiction, whether it be sex, whether it be alcohol, drugs, whatever. It's like, it's all the same sort of mentality. So I think you can kind of fill in the blanks and with that song and relate to it. It doesn't necessarily have to be just alcohol, you know. But for me, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see it from this side because we were on the road a lot of times when we were going through that stuff, and to see even the transformation, Evan, like, personally, like, it's just such a good, positive change, and, like, we're super proud of him, you know, for being dry for so long and, you know,
thanks,
keeping
man.
Our focus and stuff. You got it, brother. I mean, it's really cool, and if you actually listen to the song, you also hear, like, a harmony in the chorus, and that's actually his dad, too, who's, like, he's been a musician for, like, 50 years and
wow.
writes great songs as well. It's just kind of, like, a cool thing on that song. That song definitely has, like, a special, you know, special thing on it for us.
That without love I was living, and without love I've been missing, and without love I've been searching in the wrong place. Jeff, I relate to the poet. I wish I had met his life wasted. May 97. But now I
had a question about your song Rage.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what inspired that or where you wrote that.
Yeah, absolutely. That happened. We had a record deal with Columbia for, was it about two years?
About a couple years, yeah.
Yeah. And as, you know, the infrastructure of major labels started, you know, the downward spiral that they're in now, we were one of those bands that was, you know, the single was at radio or about to launch at radio, the video was done, everything was good. And then it was just kind of like pulled the plug, this, you know, wrote the band off. And
what song, I'm sorry, what song was that?
That was a song actually called As I Am that we don't really play anymore
yeah.
just because we're kind of closed that chapter and we're mm-hmm. moving on, and we learned a bunch of great things, but it's just, you know, something that's behind us now. But that's where that song was inspired from. You just have all these people that promise you this, promise you that, and you hear stories like that all the time, but until you really experience something like that, is when I really, you know, felt like, you know, those stories that people were saying about major labels and how people get screwed and whatever. So in a sense, it's really just, you know, about people promising you things and, you know, making you feel that you're on a team with them and everyone's working and everyone has the same goals. But more times than not, when it comes to major labels like that, it's about the dollars, you know what I mean? And that's what it's about. And when you have four people investing their heart and soul and time into making this work, and then, you know, it can be one phone call, literally, that says, okay, Columbia's dropping you guys, they're not putting out the record. And then it's like, all right. So that was that. I mean, we got a good song out of it, and we got tons of great experiences and all the motivation in the world to do this on our own. So that's where we're at now.
The deal is done, our names are signed. We're headed east to be heard. Our hopes are high, fire burns. This time it's surely our turn. Like no batteries is all we got from that. Can you feel my rage? Oh, cause they are fire and they are rain. Yes, and everything in between. Oh, no, they cast their corporate spell on. This fell, I swear. Then through my eyes I see. Then promise the sun a flashlight, no batteries. Is all we got from that. Sex and lies, feel your machine. Turn it off, give me back the songs I sing. How I often think of that. Can you feel my rage?
So what do you think about the self-promotion with the internet? Because that seems to be the trend now, even with major bands like Coldplay and mm-hmm. Radiohead, you know, releasing their album only to their fans online and kind of cutting out the middleman. So do you think that, you know, provides a sense of hope for smaller bands to get their word out there? What do you think of all that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a great form of advertisement. Like, MySpace is just so huge for even connecting with fans on a personal level without, you know, having to tour the world even. It just kind of makes things easier on both sides, you know, like any do-it-yourself band. It's just that extra, like, tool that totally can help you excel, you know. And a lot of major labels, sometimes they would just put, it seems like, money into, like, not necessarily important areas when it's all about connecting with fans and people. And there's these tools now that you can use to kind of cut that corner on some things. So I definitely think it's great, you know, a great thing to have.
Can I just go back to that just a little, if you don't mind talking about it? How did Columbia approach you? I mean, did they come to one of your shows, or?
Basically, we were a band for about 6 months, and we cut this demo. Demo got passed around. Little buzz got created amongst all the major labels because they all don't want to miss out on the next new cool thing that could possibly make them tons of money. So we started showcasing. We actually signed to basically a subsidiary of Columbia. The label was called Velvet Hammer. We showcased for them first, I believe. Then we showcased for Island, flew to New York, did the Atlantic thing, kind of all this in a short period of time.
And if you're a musician, this is like your dream come true.
Right? Yeah, well, if you're a musician and you're very new at the business, mm-hmm. it's a dream come true, you know what I mean? Come to find out, I mean, it was a total blessing in disguise that we got dropped. But yeah, it all kind of started with, you know, that one showcase, and then they're all just networked, you know what I mean? All the A&R record execs are all, you know what's going on when it comes to new bands. So yeah, that's how the Little Buzz, or whatever you want to call it, got started. And lost my train of thought.
No problem.
What was I saying? What was I saying though?
How did we get with Columbia? I think was a question, right?
Yeah.
And you answered it.
Okay. Party.
Well, on your MySpace, you guys have, you post a question, where do bad people go? Did you get that answered for you?
That's actually, we're working with a bunch of new material in a rehearsal space, and that's one of the songs that we're working with that were, I mean, we're excited about all of our new stuff. That's just kind of one of the lines that kind of, you know, rings true to us. When you can hear the song, then it makes sense, you know, but it's kind of like a little teaser, I guess, you know, for now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'll about that song, it's basically, it was written, you know, like dialogue between a young musician and this, you know, older, wealthy man. And he comes up to the young musician after his set, and he basically is saying, the old man is speaking to the young musician, and he's saying, like, oh, did the gig pay you well? Like, all about, you know, those questions that your girlfriend's parents always ask you, you know what I mean? Like, oh, well, how much money is that paying you? And it's like, they just don't get, you know, that's not our intent. It's not a money-making scheme. Like, we chose the wrong business if we wanted to be millionaires, you know? And so it just stretches that point. It talks about this dude with all the money in the world, successful, you know, homes, cars, whatever, the whole America's, you know, idea of success. And he's, you know, at the end of the night going, dude, is there, you know, something I don't know? It's like, you know, I'm not fulfilled. I don't, you know, I'm not a happy person. It's like, and then he's just kind of asking, like, this young, you know, struggling musician that has true happiness because he's doing what he loves. He's like, where do bad people go? Kind of like, shit, I need to find it out. You know what I mean? So that's kind of a little bit of insight on what that, you know, comment is about.
So one of your songs is definitely a fan favorite. What Does God See? So why do you think that this is a fan favorite? Do they go crazy in the audience, or do you think that it speaks to them, or what do you think that that's about?
I personally think it's a fan favorite because it's very universal and it's not a niche kind of song. It's very, it can speak to a lot of different people. It's a kind of a ballady, slower kind of a song, so it can reach out to all age groups, whether, you know, you're 50 years old or whether you're 13. And so I think sometimes when you play a fast rock and roll song, you can kind of pass out a lot of the older crowd. But I think with this song, it speaks out also in lyrical content to everybody, really. And just about, it talks a lot about justice and things that we've kind of going through, and it relates to what we're going through right now with tonight for the Rock for Africa. So I think that's what it's about.
What does God see? Peace and prosperity. What will be, our blurred sense of harmony is so patiently standing by. And innocence leaves us all in time. But damn the man with a violent mind. So hear the angels weep. I am so tired of everything. When everything's my fault, I stand up and sing. Love to see.
And at the end of all of our interviews, we always ask people to make fools of themselves and give us a pirate impression. So can you give us your best pirate impression? Silly, oh, whatever.
I think Adam needs to take this one, dude. Yeah.
I think he needs to take
this chair be high, says I, the Armady.
That was good.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you.
The sound of a new lover's voice. like a dream. Those three words she said.